The newest edition of the Calvary Chapel magazine came in, and those are available on the table out there in the back if you'd like to grab one, see what's going on. Tonight we're in Leviticus chapter 20, so turn in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 20. Let's pray. Father, you are so very good to us, so wonderful. We are so blessed to know you, to belong to you. Lord, help us tonight to remember and recognize that very special place you've put us. We are one of yours. And you have done so many amazing things for us. Lord, may we desire in the deepest part of our hearts to love you and serve you. Protect us, Lord, from the temptations of this world. The lies of this world, the world's definition of happiness and joy, protect us from that. We find our joy and our peace and our happiness in you and in following you and living the type of life that you want us to live. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We are going through the peaks, the mountain peaks of Scripture here on Wednesday night, which means we're looking at the main events in Scripture, the main characters in Scripture, the mega themes of Scripture, the primary teachings in Scripture. And tonight we're going to look at a very important theme that you find throughout the Bible, very important topic, the topic of holiness. And we are going to concentrate basically on one verse here in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26. Let's read that. It says, "And you shall be what? Holy to me. For I, the Lord, am holy and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine." Now, that one verse is considered to be the key verse for the entire book of Leviticus. Some even consider it to be the key verse for the whole law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The theme of Leviticus is holiness. How to approach a holy God and how to walk with a holy God. So if you wanted to sum up really the whole book of Leviticus, you could do it with this verse concerning holiness. So let's take our time with this verse tonight and let's sort of break down the various truths that come from this verse. First of all, what does it mean to be holy? What is holiness? Now, I know that sounds like a complex, spiritual, religious word. It sounds high-sounding. There are other words in the Scripture that are related to the word holy. The word saint, sanctify, sanctification, all very mysterious, religious-sounding words. But understand that holiness is very simple to understand. It simply means to be separate. Do you want to know what it means to be holy? It means to be separate. To be set apart. That which is holy is that which belongs to the sphere of the sacred. That which is holy is that which is distinct from the common or the profane. Separated from that which is common and profane, set apart, consecrated to that which is sacred. That's what it means to be holy. We've been studying a lot of the details of the Old Testament law, and you remember that in the tent of meeting, in the tabernacle, there was a candelabra called the menorah. And oil was used in that candelabra to provide oil to light the candle 24/7. And the oil that was used in the menorah was very special. It could only be used in the menorah. You couldn't take that oil and use it in a lamp in your tent. No, that oil was set apart specifically for the menorah. So that oil was holy. You see what I mean? Set apart. We also studied how the priests of Israel had to wear special garments, very special robes. Only the priests could wear those garments. Somebody out in the nation couldn't wear those garments. And by the way, the priests could only wear those garments when they were officiating as priests. When they were off duty, you don't wear the garments. So the garments were what? Holy. Set apart from common, profane use. Same thing with the incense. They would burn incense in the tabernacle, right there at the altar of incense. Very special incense, only to be used in the tabernacle. You couldn't burn it anywhere else. What was that incense? It was holy, set apart. The Sabbath day, the holy day, the set apart day. 6 days of the week you work, you take care of business. Seventh day is set apart. It's different. You don't work. You rest and you worship the Lord. The Sabbath day is holy, set apart. You get the idea. My favorite cookies are animal circus cookies. I love those cookies, the pink and white with the sprinkles on it. You know what I'm talking about? And so Kim will buy me those circus cookies, and those are for me. And we hide them. Because otherwise, my kids will get to them. And so those cookies are holy cookies, right? They've been set apart for a specific use, for a specific purpose. That is the whole idea of holiness. That which is distinct. That which belongs to the sacred. Now, this verse gives us the supreme example of holiness. Verse 26 says, "And you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am what? God is holy." In fact, God is the supreme, ultimate example of holy. He is holy. He is set apart. God is other. God is in his own sphere. He occupies a realm that is completely and totally foreign to us. He's holy. In fact, the holiness of God is believed by many theologians to be the primary attribute of God. All of the other attributes of God sort of rest upon the attribute of holiness. Throughout the scripture, you'll read, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," right? Do you ever read, "Loving, loving, loving is the Lord God Almighty"? Do you ever read, "Powerful, powerful, powerful is the Lord God Almighty"? No, you read, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The holiness of God undergirds, so to speak, all the other attributes of God. God is all powerful. Is anybody more powerful than God? God's our creator. He created all things. He created us. There's no power that even comes close. He's separate. God is glorious. Is there anything else that can compare to the glory of God? The Bible says he exists in inapproachable light. God is all-knowing. Is anybody smarter than God? Does anybody even come close to the wisdom of God? No, he knows all things. He's set apart. God is loving. God is gracious. And his love and his grace is so far beyond what we can do. He's holy. He's set apart. God is pure. God is innocent. God is sinless. God is moral perfection. There is no sin in him. He's other. He's holy. He is the supreme example of holiness. And folks, it's the holiness of God that should cause you to fear God. There should be a fear and trembling in our hearts of God who's holy. Because he's so other. There's a good reason why you read in Scripture, when people have visions of God, what do? They fall flat on their face, as though dead. The Scripture says that no man can see the face of God and live. His holiness, his separateness, his uniqueness. He's the supreme example. Now, this verse also tells us something else very beautiful. This holy God wants people to belong to him. Think of it. It says, and you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine. Look what he said to the nation of Israel. I've picked you. I separated you from all the nations. I called on you to be mine. I want you to be in my realm of holiness. I want you to be a part of my kingdom. In Ephesians or Exodus chapter 19, God says to the nation of Israel, you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Think about that. God wants people to be in his kingdom. And yet, you look at your own life and you see how small you are, how little you are, how sinful you are, how we've failed, how we've all fallen apart, how we all fall short, and we think, how in the world could this holy God want us to belong to him? And yet he wants us to belong to him. And the message of the Bible is that God has made it possible for us to be holy so that we can exist in his sphere of holiness. Incredible thing God has done. Now, this verse tells us another important truth. It says that God's people, those people that belong to God, should walk in holiness, should pursue holiness, should live a holy life. Look what he says in verse 26. You shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine. Very clear. If you belong to God, if you're one of his people, you are to be holy to God. He says, I separated you. I called you out from among the profane and common. I've made you holy. You belong to me. So pursue holiness. Be holy to me. God would say to us, set yourself apart to him. Be consecrated unto him. Seek to please him. Seek to love him. Seek to live life the way he tells us to live life. Seek to please him. Seek to walk in holiness. You know, I mentioned a few moments ago the idea of these items being holy. Oil that was holy and set apart, garments and a day, and this incense. I want you to think of your life like that as a child of God. Think of your life as a vessel. Think of your life as incense, oil. Your life, everything about your life, is to be separate. Outside of the common, the profane. Your life and the way you spend it should be completely and totally separated unto service to God. Worshiping him. Just as you wouldn't think of using oil anywhere else but in the tabernacle, so you shouldn't think of using your life here for anything else other than serving God. Pleasing God, worshiping God, serving God. The Lord says, I've picked you, you're mine. I'm holy, the Lord would say, and you belong to me, so you be holy like me. May your life reflect the holiness of God in the way in which you live. There's a Bible scholar who wrote this, and I totally agree with it. He says, it is well known that a people become to a great extent what their god or their gods are. The gods of the heathen were most of them monsters of lust. Jupiter was depraved. Mercury was a thief. Others of their gods were infected with the greatest crimes. You must expect from such gods in the theology of a people, bad lives in the history of those people. The idea is you become just like the God that you serve, just like the God that you worship. In the Old Testament, there was a goddess called Ashtoreth, and she was the goddess of fertility, and she was basically the goddess of sex and sexual immorality, and she was worshipped through prostitution. And so the people that worship a god like that become perverted. Listen, if you worship sex, you'll become a pervert because you become like your god. There was another god that they would worship in the Old Testament, Baal. Also the god of fertility, but agriculture. And in those days, agriculture was business. Baal was there to, you know, bless your business. So they would worship Baal and want their business to grow. Sort of like money. Now, if God to you is money, well, the Bible says the love of Money is the root of all kinds of evil. You can become a thief. You can become this self-centered person, this person who totally lacks compassion. But listen, if the living God is your God, you'll be holy. You'll become like him. And you know what? A holy life is a beautiful life. It's a life where you actually are able to forgive other people just like you've been forgiven. Where you have compassion upon others. Where you love others as Christ loved you. Where you have a joy. There's a beauty about your life. There's peace in your life. There's safety in your life. There's fruit from your life. Worship the living God. Become like him. And that's how it's supposed to work. God's holy, we're not. He makes us holy. We become a part of his people, and because we are his people and he's our God, we seek to live that life of holiness. And that's exactly how it should work. That's how it was supposed to work in the Old Testament. Now, is there a truth like that in the New Testament? Is there a counterpart to Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26 in the New Testament? There is. Turn all the way to the right in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2. Look what Peter writes in verse 9. Speaking of the church now, in the New Testament age. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Check this out. His own special people. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, does that sound just like Leviticus chapter 20? Or Exodus chapter 19, where God says to the nation of Israel, I've made you my own special people. Yeah, as the church now, speaking of the church, we have become God's special people. We are his special treasure. We are a kingdom of priests. We live in the church age now. Comprised of both Jew and Gentile. This is not to say that God is through with Israel. We're in the church age. Right now, God is dealing with the church. When the church is removed, we'll go back to Israel. But listen, right now, we are God's special people. God has called you to himself. Now, I really take that. Please, take that very personally. You are his own special people. Think about that. You are his own special people. You are very special to him, and you occupy this special place. Now, as being a part of God's people, him setting us apart to him. We're to live holy lives in the church age. There are things that our life is to be about. There are very positive things that all of us as Christians are called to do, things that we didn't do before we knew Christ. Things like go to church and spend time with other believers. And read his word and grow in our knowledge of his word. And spend time praying and spend time serving. acts of compassion to other people. Worshiping, very proactive things. And there's other things that we are supposed to be avoiding as his special people. We're not to live like people in this world. We're to be completely distinct. We're not to live in all the sexual, immoral yuck that's out there. The life of revelry, drunkenness, bitterness, hatred. Our lives should not even come close to looking like that. Why? Because you belong to God. He got you out of that. And he's holy, and you should be holy. Look down at verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. There's another. We're priesthood. We're a member of a holy nation. We're a special people. And the scripture says we're also pilgrims, strangers, sojourners on this planet. And so we shouldn't get caught up in all of those things of the world. Shouldn't even be named among us. There are a lot of Christians who I've met over the years, and a lot of them seem to think that the holy life is a boring life. And I think there's a lot of non-believers, too, that think, oh, I'm not going to become a Christian. That's going to be boring. I'm going to have to give up all my friends. I won't be able to have any more fun. Listen, the life of holiness is the life of joy. And it is the life of safety. And happiness, true joy. C.S. Lewis once commented to an American friend, I love this, how little people know who think that holiness is dull. When one meets the real thing, it is irresistible. He says if even 10% of the world's population had it, would not the whole world be converted and happy before a year's end? Following Christ, understanding what he's done, the place that he's put you in, and living for him, and seeking to reflect his holiness in your life. It's the happiest life. It's the safest life. It's the most fruitful life. It's not dull. Last week, I was with my son at a basketball tournament. And this basketball tournament took place in Las Vegas, New Mexico, which is why I wanted to go with my son. Did I say New Mexico? Las Vegas, Nevada. Which is why I wanted to go with my son. I didn't trust Dylan in Vegas with other families. I wanted to be with Dylan in Vegas. And I got to tell you, I've never been to Vegas. How many here have been to Vegas? Now, is that place over the top or what? I mean, I've never seen such indulgence, such decadence. I mean, everything, gluttony, drunkenness, sexual immorality, greed. I mean, I was just blown away. We couldn't go into our pool. Our pool was a frat party. Drunk people all over the place. And you look everywhere, and it saddened me because I look at this place, and here is what the world has to offer. Here it is. Sex. prostitution, all that you want. Money, greed, all that you want. Alcohol, drugs, everything that you want. Revelry, debauchery. And I was watching a lot of these people. And the reason I was sad was because you look in the eyes of these people and they're lonely. They're not satisfied. There they are, mindlessly pulling that casino, that machine. I saw so many just pulling this machine, hoping for that one big drop. Many of them too drunk to stand. Putting away their mortgages, their retirements. And I'd watch some of them walk around away from the machine, and just the look of despair in their eyes, the emptiness in their heart. My heart went out for them. And man, that's it. That's what the world has to offer. By the way, I don't think Vegas itself is sinful. I won't look down on you if you go to Vegas. I think you can do Vegas very clean. We did. We played a lot of basketball in Vegas. But just the sights. And I thought, what a lie. And how many people are so caught up in that and think, man, if I do all this, if I get everything that the world has to offer, I'm going to be full. And yet they're all drinking from wells that leave them dry. When you're a Christian, you've come to the well of living water, where you have found satisfaction. You found a life worth living. So, be holy as your Father in heaven is holy. The one who has called you out of all that junk sets you apart to be his. Saved you out of all that. Serve him, reflect him. Live that life that is attractive to others. Truly attractive. Now, there's one piece of this study that's missing. And that is, how in the world do we actually become holy? In the church age, we are called by God, we're set apart to him, and we become holy. In the Old Testament, they became holy. Well, how do we become holy? How are our sins accounted for? Is there any way you and I could become holy? On our own strength? How do we become holy? It has to be something that God does, right? And that is the whole purpose of the gospel message. God sent his son Jesus, who was and is holy, and who came and died on the cross for our sins and rose again that third day. He paid the price for our sins. And if we simply put our faith in Jesus Christ, all of our sins are washed away. And at that moment, we become holy. We become a child of God. And we enter into that realm of holiness, that beautiful life. And think about the cost. And think about how that should spur us on to following him and serving him. Now, there's a question I've been asked. How did the Old Testament saints get holy? How did they get saved? How do Old Testament saints get saved? Did they get saved by keeping their law? Well, did anyone keep the law? No. So they don't get saved by keeping the law. Did they get their sins forgiven through the sacrificial offering of animals? Did the blood of animals cover their sins? No. The book of Hebrews says that there is no forgiveness with the blood of goats and bulls, sheep. The Old Testament saints, folks, were saved the exact same way that we're saved, through faith in God and through the shed blood of Christ. And you say, well, wait a minute. God hadn't sent his son yet in the Old Testament. They were responsible for what had been revealed to them. People are always saved by faith in God according to the revelation that they've been given. They were saved by their faith in the concept of their sins being atoned for through the sacrificial blood that would be actualized later with the actual death of Christ. In other words, Old Testament saints were saved on credit. Make sense? The blood of animals didn't wash away any of their sins. The blood of Christ washed away their sins. They were responsible to put their faith in Christ and their faith in that belief that there would be atonement, which was actually given to them through the blood of Christ that would come later. All through Scripture, old, new, the way you become holy, the way you become a child of God is through what God has done for you. And you are simply to put your faith in him. Trust him. And then live that holy life. Maybe you're here tonight as a Christian and you've sort of forgotten this whole concept of holiness. And just how important it is. And what God did to make you holy. And that you've been set apart. And maybe you're a Christian here tonight and you've just been living your own deal. Kind of going your own way. Please see tonight how absolutely twisted that is. How perverted that is. That's not who you are. Come back to him tonight. Seek his holiness. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not confident that you've ever had all your sins forgiven. Maybe you thought, I just have to be good. I have to figure out how to be holy on my own. And you know that you can't. And you needed to be here tonight to hear that God has made it possible for you to be holy. And that comes through faith in him. I want to close right there. Why don't we bow our heads and close our eyes? Father, we want to thank you tonight for the tremendous work that was done, the tremendous sacrifice that was made. That we could be brought into a right relationship with you. Lord, we are so unholy. We fall so short. And yet you wanted us to belong to you. And you made it possible for us to belong to you. through a sacrifice that will take all of eternity for us to understand and appreciate. And yet, Lord, you did it. And as we give our lives to you, you set us apart. You call us your special treasure, your special people, separated out. Father, we are so grateful. We praise you. And I would ask, Lord, tonight that we live as those special people. That we would seek to reflect your holiness to a world that is so dark. That as your people, we would not get caught up in all the things of this world, but we would live distinct lives. That we would go against the flow of this world. Lord, that we would never blend in, but rather stand out. Take our lives, use them for your glory. And I would pray for anyone here tonight who has not been living that kind of life. If that's been you, I repent. Come back to him tonight. If you've been living the life of a prodigal, if you've been backsliding, come back to the Lord. And I promise you, the Lord will receive you back. He will restore you. And he'll take your life once again and use it in a mighty way for his glory. You just come back. Perhaps there are some here tonight who've never received Christ. You've never become holy in Christ Jesus. I want you to have that opportunity right now. Place your faith in Christ who died for you and rose again. If you do, you will become born again. Your sins will be washed away. You will be filled with his Holy Spirit. And you will become holy, set apart to him. Pray this with me if you've never done so. Lord Jesus, I pray, be my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for the sacrifice. Wash away all my sins. Make me born again. Fill me with your Spirit. And help me to serve you, follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's all stand together.